In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here we are. Then, after this, I was feeling that my office is not complete. Okay, remember, each of us has an office, okay, in the divine will. It's a duty and responsibility given to us by God, okay? So he tells Louisa that what he has planned for the world is he is working on the yeast. He says the yeast is different than the flour. And he shows us very clearly that the reason people don't want the divine will is they're not called to that office of being the yeast. You know, you don't need much yeast to put in dough. You don't need much yeast at all. But without the yeast, there's no leaven. And what Jesus says, I want this to expand. I want this to be given to all mankind, past, present, and future. So what he's doing is he's asking us if we're willing to take on this office, okay? And that is to become the yeast. What is yeast? It's slime. So I was telling some of my friends that we should get some bowling shirts with, you know, yeast on it or something like that. But anyways, it's to be, again, when you make wine, and you crush all the grapes and everything, you know, sinks down to the bottom. There's a lot of goo down there. And that's basically us. We're nothing. Yet God wants to use us to prove to the world that it's not us. It's him. And so this office that he's asking of us is to be the yeast so that everyone can receive this gift. Okay. So she says, I feel that my office is not complete. Therefore, I descend down below within that void in order to requite Jesus for the work of redemption. And as though finding all that Jesus did in act, and that's Mary too, sorry, I want to give Jesus my requital of all for everyone, the acts that everyone should have done for him in awaiting him and receiving him upon earth. Your little daughter of your divine will feels the duty that if nothing else that she can do for you, that you may at least a little I love you. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, I read this wrong. If there is nothing else that she could do for you, that you may have at least a little I love you for everything you have done for me and for everyone. So everything that Jesus thought, said, and did, we have to say to him, I thank you, thank you, thank you, I love you. I praise you for all that you have done, Jesus. For everyone, because my family doesn't do it. My neighbors don't do it. My coworkers don't do it. Even parishioners don't do it. We have to do this for everyone. We stand in the breach for everyone. Therefore, my I love you follows you in all the pains of your passion, in all the spit and scorns and insult they gave you. My I love you seals each drop of blood you shed, each blow you received, each wound that formed in your body, each thorn that pierced your head, the bitter pains of the crucifixion, your words you pronounced on the cross up to your last breath. I intend to impress my I love you. I want to enclose everyone, in everyone, your life, all your acts with my I love you. I want you to touch, to see, to feel my continuous I love you everywhere. My I love you shall never leave you. And your very life is the life of my I love you. So here we hear that this prayer of Louisa becomes our prayer. We learn from her how to do this. Everything is I love you. Everything is I praise you. I adore you. I worship you. I glorify you. But do you know what this little child wants? That the divine will that you so much loved, that you did during your whole life upon earth, make itself known to all mankind, that everyone may love the divine will and may fulfill your will on earth as it is in heaven. This little child wants to conquer you in love, that you may give your divine will to all people, past, present, and future. Oh, please, Make this poor little one happy who wants nothing else but what you want. What does God want? That your divine will be known and that your divine will reign upon earth. Known, loved, and reign. That's what God's got planned. It's a new beginning for everyone and for everything. Now, I believe that that obedience shall be content in some way. Though it is true that in many things I had to make a few jumps, otherwise I would never end. Fusing myself in the supreme volition is like a springing font for me. And every little thing I hear or see, one offense given to my Jesus is an occasion for me for new ways, new fusions in His most holy divine will. So again, don't take offense of what's happening. Don't take offense. It'll be a new way to get to adore God, to love God, and to praise God, and to thank God, and to glorify God. The things you're going to hear are going to be really terrible, what's going on in the world. I mean, it's far worse than you could imagine. It's not only killing so many children through abortion, you know, 61 million babies in the United States. It's billions of children worldwide. Our love, and we're not just talking about abortion, it's artificial means of birth control. All that's used to, stop birth. She says, every little thing I see, everything a little I hear, the offense is given to my Jesus. It's now an occasion for me for new ways and new fusions of I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I glorify you. You begin to be happy. You see a tragedy and you say, I am so sorry this has happened. Lord, I want to repair this. I not only repair this, but for every thought, every word, every deed. And what happens is you enter into that divine adoration in heaven on earth. Now I continue in saying that my sweet Jesus told me, my daughter, what you have said on fusing yourself with my divine will, listen to this. This is great. Another appeal must be added. Now, this is directly from Jesus. He says, okay, you've done everything that you've not done, but more is needed. Do you see what God is saying? I want you to have more. I not only want you to be good and holy and saintly like the saints in a saint, human saintly manner, but a divine manner. Abundant life. I want you to have life and have it abundantly. That effusing yourself, listen to this, in the order of grace, in everything that the sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, has done and shall do for those who are to be sanctified, those who are to live in the divine will. This is the second Pentecost. Remember, John Paul II says, "Get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the new beginning." If he says. He said at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, he said, we have to begin to live a new and divine way of holiness. Everything's going to change. Get ready for the third millennium, the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. More so since while we, the three true divine persons, are always united and operating, see, we're going to operate with God. If the creation points to the Father, redemption to the Son, the Fiat Voluntas Tua shall point to the Holy Spirit. And it is precisely in the Fiat Voluntas Tua that the Divine Spirit shall make a divine display of His work. You ain't seen nothing yet. Great things are coming. You do it when, on coming before the Supreme Majesty, you say, again, we can do this before the Supreme Majesty. Kneel, close your eyes and enter it in front of the Supreme Majesty. I come to requite you in love for everything that the sanctifier does for those who are to be sanctified. I come to enter into the order of grace so as to be able to give you, triune God, the glory, the requital of love, as if all mankind had made themselves saints in order to prepare you, Lord God, for all the oppositions and lack of correspondence to grace. Everything's being repaired. Everything's being repaired. The prayer that Jesus gives us through Louisa, everything's being repaired. Trust Jesus. Trust, have confidence in Him. He's doing this. He's telling us basically, this is what He says. You do it when I'm coming before the Serene Majesty. Okay, this is what Jesus is revealed to Louisa. This is what you are to say. You know, you talked about your prayer at night. kneel before the divine majesty before you go to bed. When you wake up in the morning, kneel before the divine majesty. Enter into this relationship. It's not a pious thought. It's a reality. And the more that you learn, this is what Jesus said today, the more that you do this, the sooner it's going to happen. Eventually, you will find yourself kneeling before the throne of the divine majesty. It's going to happen for the souls who want it. And that's operating with God. And as much as you can, you search within our divine will for the acts of grace of the Spirit Sanctifier so as to make his sorrow your own. Go through the volume 19, The Sorrows of the Holy Spirit, as well as his secret moans, his anguishing sighs in the depths of his heart in seeing himself so unwelcomed. And since the first act he does is to bring our divine will as complete act of the soul sanctification, in seeing himself rejected, he moans with inexpressible moans. And you, in your childlike simplicity, see, this is for children. You, in your childlike simplicity, it's not complicated. Say to him, he tells you what to say. Spirit Sanctifier, hurry, I implore you, I pray you again, make your divine will known to all, so that by knowing your divine will, they may love the divine will. They may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, that is, your most holy divine will. It's full circle. My daughter, we, the three divine persons, are inseparable and distinct, and yet, in this way, do we want to manifest to the human generations our works for them, that while being united among ourselves, each one of us wants to manifest individually his love and his work toward mankind. So we have Father of Creation, Jesus of Redemption, and the Holy Spirit of Sanctification. That's the time we're living in. John Paul II says, get ready for the third millennium. We're in the third millennium, 2020. Volume 18, 12, 25, 25. Therefore, knowledge, to know the divine will, to know the book of heaven, of it is like a herald of the gift of my divine will that I, God, want to give to the soul. To know this is so important to Jesus. Knowledges prepare the way. Knowledge is like the contract that I, God, want to make of the great gift that I, God, want to give to mankind. So the more knowledge that I send to the soul, the more that you read, the more she is spurred on to desire the gift and to solicitate the divine writer to place the final signature, that the gift of the divine will is hers and that she possesses it. That's what God wants. He wants you to know this so well that he can sign his signature to it, that it belongs to you, that you possess this. God wants this done. And he leaves it up to us. Do you want it 30, 60, or 100-fold? Whatever you want, I will give you. You want 10%? I'll give you 10%. You want 100%? Then you're going to have to work a little bit. You have to read more, study more, put this into practice. Now, I know some people can't read because they can't see. You got a dream voice where it can read to you. And again, faith comes by hearing. So don't worry about if you can't read. Read it. Listen to it. Volume 19, 3/9/1926. Just as through the Holy Virgin, I, God, had made up in my game, I made the Son of Redemption rise in order to save the lost humanity in the same way. Through you, Louisa, I, God, shall make the Son of my divine will rise again, that it may follow its course in the midst of creatures. A new beginning is happening. The sun is going to come up. This is why Our Lady's the dawn before the new day. This new day is very close. In fact, when an act is done in my divine will, that act no longer is subject to interruption. After it is done once, it is done forever. It's eternal. And if it were continuous, as if it were continuously being done. And the operating of the soul in my divine will becomes to partake in the ways of the divine operating. Holy moly. Listen to that. The operating of the soul in my divine will comes to partake in the ways of divine operating. When it operates It does always the same act. There's no need of repeating it. What shall your many I love yous in my divine will be? Always repeating the refrain, I love you, I love you, I love you. They shall be many wounds for me. I shall prepare me to concern the greatest grace. What is that? What's the greatest grace? That my divine will be known, that my divine will be loved, and that my divine will be fulfilled. That's what's coming. And Jesus is asking us to do it, one with Louisa. Volume 19, 626, 1926, my daughter, the little daughter of my divine will, must not only think about and occupy herself with defending the universal rights of her creator, the Catholic rights of her creator, giving God in return the love and the glory that everyone owes him, as if all were one, in such a way that God may find everything in Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa. Because our divine will involves everyone and everything. And one who lives in the divine will possesses universal ways, Catholic ways. Therefore, she can give us, Triune God, everything, and we can recover everything. But as our child, she must also defend the rights of the Sovereign Queen. Again, Jesus and Mary. She operates in a universal way, Catholic way. And therefore, she had a love, a glory, a prayer, a reparation, a sorrow for her Creator, for everyone and for each soul. Our Lady, let not one act escape her that creatures owed to their Creator. And enclosing everyone in her maternal heart, Our Lady loved everyone and each one in a Catholic way, a universal way. See, everything goes back to this universal life. This Catholic life is what Adam had. That's why Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, come to earth. Why? To start the Catholic life again for all mankind. So he says, you must know, this is a command from Jesus Christ. You must know that the one who has done good to everyone, who has loved everyone, and has operated in a universal way for God and for everyone, has rights over everything and everyone. You see what God is showing us? This royalty? And was able to operate with the ways of her Creator because she possessed the kingdom of our most holy divine will. That's what God is in store for us. This divine royalty. We are true sons and daughters of the great King and the great Queen. Jesus says, I want you to get rid of your old rags, the way you've been living, and put on the royal garments. Adam threw off the royal garments, and all he had was rags after that. He says, now, Jesus says, now is the time, now that you've been redeemed, now that you have Louisa who has the book of heaven, now I can clothe you in divinity. You can't believe what's coming. This is a glorious time that's coming. And everybody's moaning and groaning, you know, doom and gloom. Yeah, for the evil one. He's leaving. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is here for those who want it. Volume 19, 8-4, 1926. Therefore, make your rounds within our house in the work of your Creator, because God awaits you everywhere that you may learn his divine ways. And repeat what the divine will does in all created things, to do what God does. In this way, you shall be sure of being always in the supreme volition. Not only this, but you shall be always with me. And even though you do not always see me, you must know this, that I am inseparable from my most holy divine will. I am inseparable from my divine works. And therefore, since you are in the divine will, I, God, shall be with you, and you shall be with me. He's not 1,000,000,000 miles away anymore. Volume 20, 128, 27. My daughter, look how beautiful is the order of the heavens. In the same way, when the kingdom of the divine will shall have its dominion on earth in the midst of creatures, also on earth, there shall be perfect and beautiful order. No more chaos. What's coming is the kingdom. The kingdom is coming. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. Now he's going to teach you how he is going to reign in us. This is so magnificent. And then I, God, shall have three kingdoms, one in the celestial fatherland and another in the creation and a third among my children and among the creatures. Each one shall be an echo of the other. Each one shall be a reflection of the other. By seeing that the sun abounds so much with light and that the heavens extend everywhere, you are persuaded that God is rich and possesses the source of light. And therefore, he has lost none of his light by endowing the sun with so much light, nor is his power decreased by extending the heavens everywhere. In the same way, if the children of my divine will shall not abound with everything, everything, one could say that my divine will is poor and does not have the power to make the children of its kingdom happy. And that shall never be. We're going to be filled with everything. On the contrary, because it shall be the image of the kingdom that my divine will has in the creation, just as in the heavens extend everywhere, and they abounded by the stars, and the sun abounds with light, and the air with birds, and the sea with fish, and the earth with the plants and flowers. I mean, it's an explosion of I love yous. In the same way, since the kingdom of my supreme fiat echoes in creation, the children, that's us, of my kingdom shall be divinely happy and shall abound with everything, everything. Therefore, each one shall possess the fullness of goods, the full happiness, and the place in which the supreme will has placed him, everywhere the condition and the office they shall occupy. Remember your office. Your office is to become yeast so that the kingdom can flourish. All shall be happy of their destiny. And since the kingdom of the supreme fiat shall be the perfect echo of the kingdom our divine will possesses in creation, one sun, listen to this, shall be seen up high, another sun down below in the midst of creatures who shall possess this kingdom. It will be the echo of the heavens that shall be seen in these fortunate children, and they shall populate with the stars, with their acts. That's exactly what Jesus said to Abraham. Your children will be more numerous than the stars. They say the sand on the seashore. They say there's more stars in the sky than sand on the seashores. Even more, each one of them shall be a heaven and a distinct sun, because wherever my divine will is present, it cannot be without a heaven, without a sun. Rather, it takes possession of each of its children. It should form a new heaven and a new sun, because it is nature that wherever it has its stable possession, its sanctity, its endless light, it is like heaven and sun that forms and multiplies everything. It's a new beginning that's coming. It's a new beginning. The new heavens and the new earth, it's going to be infinite. It's going to be magnificent. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what is coming. It's going to be so glorious. And all the Lord is asking of us is, are you willing to say yes? Volume 21, 3, 22, 27. My divine will is more than sun in the sky. And think about it. The book I have around here somewhere, the book from the Vatican, the sun of my divine will is Luisa Picaretta. St. Padre Pio said, Luisa is like a second sun in the sky. As the sun goes down in the west, a new sun comes up in the east, no more darkness. You see what's coming. As it rises in the soul, it closes the soul with divine light, and all of her acts are pearled with divine light in such a way that they convert into more than refulgent diamonds and precious ornaments. Before the sun of my divine will rises, they are like night dew which oppresses the plants and gives them no tint of beauty. But with the rising of the sun, that dew forms the most beautiful ornament for all my plants and gives to each one of them its tint of beauty and makes the variety and the vividness of their colors stand out. He's talking about us here. In the same way as my divine will rises, all your human acts become invested with divine light. And they take their place of honor in my divine will. Each one of them receives a special tint of divine beauty, of the vividness of divine colors, in such a way that the soul becomes transfigured and enveloped with indescribable divine beauty. See, God's, we're going to be perfect. We have to be perfect. We're going to be children of God. I mean, we are children of God, but it's going to manifest itself through us. You can't be sad when you read the divine will. As the sun of my divine will rises, it puts to flight all the evils of the soul. Isn't this great? It takes away the torpor and the passions that it had produced. Even more, before the light of the divine fiat, passions themselves lap up that light and aspire to convert into virtues. See what God's going to do with each and every one of us? To pay homage to my eternal will. When the divine will reigns, the passions themselves lap up that light and aspire to convert into virtues. Why? To pay homage to my eternal will. When Adam created the original sin, when he fell into that original sin, Jesus redeemed us, and now he's going to sanctify us. As it rises, everything is gaiety. And even the pains that, like seas at nighttime, strike fear in the poor creature. If my divine will rises, it puts to flight the night of the human will and takes everything, taking every fear away. It forms its golden bed in those pains with its divine light. It invests the bitter waters of the pain, and it crystallizes them into seas of sweetnesses, in such a way as to form an enchanting and admirable horizon. What can my divine will not do? It can do everything. It can give everything. And wherever it rises, it does things worthy of our divine creative hands. Worthy. It's going to be God in us doing it. That's why he created us, to be as in his image and likeness. This is such a glorious time to be alive. Volume 22, 8-4, 1927. Within the soul in whom the heartbeat of my divine will reigns, and hopefully that's us linked to Louisa, I, God, act like a father who keeps his son away from himself. He communicates his ways to him. Sorry. I, God, I act like a father who keeps his son always with himself. Sorry. He communicates his ways to him. He feeds him with his words. He would want to palpitate his son in order to give him his intelligence, his life. And when he is sure that his son is another him, he can do what he knows and how to do. He can say to him, my son, go out into the field of life and do what your father has done until now. You see what God is getting us ready for? Work, take care of our business. Take upon yourself the whole commitment of the family. You shall be the repetition of my life. And I shall rest. I shall accompany you with my heartbeat that you may feel within yourself the life of your father and carry out faithfully as I await for you in my rest to enjoy together the fruits of your toils. More than a father, Jesus says, do I, God, act with the soul in whom my divine will reigns. More than a father. Rather, a father cannot give his heartbeat to his son. I, God, give my heartbeat to Louisa and the soul's link to Louisa. I, God, keep her always together, one, with me, Jesus. I, God, teach her my divine ways. I, God, communicate to Louisa my divine secrets, my divine strength. And when I am sure, I fling her into the field of life of my divine will, that she may take care of the whole commitment on the part of the whole human family. And I say to her, my daughter, let me rest. I entrust everything to you. But in my rest, I shall wait for you often to enjoy the fruit of the work you do in the kingdom of my divine will. Adam was a human. Adam was not the son of God. Adam was not the mother of God. Adam was to do this for his children. God had to find a human to give this to. That's Louisa. Louisa lives in the divine will. Why? To give, this is the first thing, to give back to the man the gift that he lost. Who is the man? That's the Pope. What's coming is going to surprise you. What's coming is going to delight you, because what's coming is a new beginning for mankind. The guy with the keys, the Pope, is coming. And he is going to open the door, and there'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. The first person who will receive this gift, read the three appeals. The first one who will receive this gift will be the Holy Father. Great things are in store. Remember, I really believe this generation will not pass away until all has been completed. We have the Book of Heaven. He doesn't need many. You don't need a ton of yeast. He says there will only be a few that will really want to live this life. Hopefully it's you and me. A new beginning is coming. Volume 22, 1927. Now, the one who does my divine will and lives in my divine will receives the life of light and heat from her creator. And as the soul thinks about my divine will, she forms the heat. As she speaks about the divine will, she adds more heat. As she operates in the divine will, in order to fulfill the divine will, she doubles the heat. As she walks in the divine will on its ways, she multiplies the heat. The light becomes brighter. The light becomes stronger and extends and expands more. So there is not one part of her being that does not spread rays of vivifying light, more so since she possesses the source of the light of light. That is my supreme fiat. Remember what I said earlier. It's not a nimbus. It's not a halo. It's to radiate the divine light as Jesus did on Mount Tabor, as Mary did at Guadalupe. This is what God is asking for us. He saved the best for last. My daughter, in creating man, in creating Adam, our divinity bound him completely to us. So his memory, his intellect, and his will, the three powers, were bonds of union. His eyes, his mouth, his hearing, his heart, his hands, his feet were bonds. And if the creature lived in my divine will, as she places each of these bonds in attitude, she receives the attitude of the divine life, not human life. Okay? The true human life is divine life. That's Jesus. That's Mary. That's what Adam had before the fall. The fallen human life, even saintly, Jesus says, I want you to live in my will. I want you to possess divine life. That's what God's got planned. So she is formed and develops like a little plant that, while possessing the fecundity of the earth, of its full of its vital humors, watered with pure and abundant water, is all exposed to the beneficial rays of the sun, receiving its continuous life. Oh, how well it grows, how it enjoys its fruits, how it is sought for, loved, and appreciated. Think about it. You got to be formed, developed, and received. Formed, developed, and received. You've got to work at this. This is what Jesus is saying. In the same way, the soul, by receiving continuous life of God by means of these bonds, this is the truths that he gave to Louisa. This is what he manifested to Louisa. These are the promises to Louisa. More than solar rays communicating themselves over each part of her soul is preserved as fecund earth, full of vital and divine humors that more than blood flow within the soul. How well she grows. She is the beloved. She is the one who is sought for by heaven and by earth. Her life, her works, her words, more than fruits, are enjoyable for all. We're getting a glimpse of Louisa. This little newborn, who in the heck is Louisa Picaretta? What is Jesus saying about her? Jesus didn't say this about the saints. Divine humors? Who is this Louisa? Again, great things are in store for those who love God. Let me clue you. Volume 24, 4:16, 1928. Now, the soul keeps calling my divine will as the beginning of all her being. She shall feel its divine echo within her. Calling the divine will. Come, divine will, walk in my walking. Come, divine will, sing in my singing. Come, divine will, dance in my dancing. Whatever you think, say, and do. Come, divine will. We have to learn to call this often throughout the day, not only with your prevenient acts, but we have to discipline ourselves to do this with our actual acts. You get on the phone, talk in my talking. Come drive in my driving. You know, whatever you're doing, cook in my cooking. Now, as the soul keeps calling the divine will as the beginning of all her being, she shall feel the divine echo. The echo shall call her back to her beginning, returning to the womb of the Father. And resounding in her, it shall reorder her anew, just as our echo retreated from man, because Adam withdrew from our divine will. In the same way, as souls recognize the divine will, love the divine will, and want nothing but our divine will, this echo of our divine will shall return into the midst of creatures. The kingdom of our divine fiat is precisely this. Listen to this. Precisely this. The return of our divine echo. Okay, remember, when God speaks, okay, we breathe that in and speak it back to him. It's his echo, not us. And he says, what that is God in his image and likeness redoing what God does. Not the faraway echo that often resounded in the hearing of man from the time he withdrew from our divine will. This is not a normal echo, but a continuous echo that shall resound in the depth of souls, transforming the souls. It shall form divine life in each person, giving back to them the divine order of the divine way in which Adam had been created. This hasn't been seen by the saints. This is something that all you can do is be in awe of it. Well, you haven't got words to say anything. It's just, what a great God we have that he has allowed us to be alive at this time, predestined us to be alive at this time. Volume 24, 9:8:28. Therefore, our interest and everything in the soul to be holy, pure, and beautiful, that she be invested with our divine happiness. Everything must give of divine will. Everything must be of divine will. If the holiness, the beauty, the purity of the soul in the divine will is God, that's what's emanating, not human. The priest puts a drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. That's what's coming. That's the new way. What a glorious time. Woo. Okay. And just as the earth, when it is invested by the light of the sun, loses darkness and gives completely of light in such a way that the light acts like as queen, dominating the earth and making itself the nourisher of it, communicating it to it the life and the effects of the light in the same way. Our divine will, when it reigns in creatures, dispels evils, puts flight to darkness, puts flight to weaknesses, puts flight to miseries, puts flight to afflictions, and as queen, makes itself nourisher of divine light, divine strength, divine riches, and divine happinesses. All the good that those who shall possess the kingdom of my divine fiat shall do, the glory they shall give me shall ascend again into the ones who have been the origin of the cause of a good so great. Do you see what's happening? Those that are reading, those that are studying, those that are putting into practice, all the good of those who shall possess the kingdom of my divine fiat, all they should do, the glory that they shall give me, God, shall descend and ascend again into the souls who have been the origin and the cause of a good so great. This is astonishing. It's completely astonishing. He wants us to participate in him. It's not to live a human miserable life, but to share a divine life with God. It's not to be God, but he wants us to share in his divinity. That's what the prayer said at Holy Mass every day. And now he's given us the way to do it by reading, by studying, by putting this into practice. And even if you are in heaven, the communicative virtue of my divine will that has lived life in you on earth, what's going on right now, shall place you in communication. It shall keep all of the ways open between you and them. Therefore, so your life and everything that you have done and suffered on earth shall be in their midst, and everything that they shall do shall have its origin in you. Because one is the divine will of one and of the other. You know what that means? As you do your action rounds on earth, it's affecting everyone. That's why I'm saying the world is changing right now. Do you think what's happening in Washington is happening in Washington because it's by chance? Do you think what's happening in the Vatican is happening in the Vatican by chance? No, everything is changing. Everything is being purged. Everything is being purified. And God is in charge. You have to understand this. What's he in charge of? He's in charge of us who are living in the divine will. He's beating in our heart beating. He's praying in our praying. He is praying. We're not praying. We are the vehicle where he can pray. He uses our voice. He uses our prayers. But he is doing the praying. He's teaching us how to pray the rounds. And little by little, we're learning it more and more. Volume 25, 2, 27, 19, 29. My daughter, the one who lives in my divine will, never moves from the ways of her creator, never moves from the way of God. And being our repeater, while our essence is one, one the will, one the life, one the love, one the power, yet we are three distinct persons. In the same way for the soul who lives in the divine will. This is what we're striving for. One is her heartbeat. And in each heartbeat, she forms three acts. One embraces God. The second embraces all mankind, past, present, and future. And the third is her inner self. This is so amazing. And so if the soul, if she speaks, if she operates in everything she does, she forms these three acts that echoing the divine power, the divine wisdom, the divine love of the one God who created her, the one God who embraced everything and everyone is echoing in that soul. This is so amazing what God is doing. It's so amazing. And he's asking us to give our fiat. That's always, are you willing to give your fiat? Are you willing to say yes to God? Do with me as you wish. Are you brave enough to lose everything human so that we can enter into the divine? You're going to have to do that sooner or later. When you're in your deathbed, you've got to give your heartbeat to God. When you're in your deathbed, you got to say to God, you can take my breath away. You're God. Right now, Jesus is saying, let me begin this life with you now, before you die. I want you to live the resurrected life now before you die. So we'll end there and we'll be back in 15 minutes, okay, just to finish up. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.